Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The YWCA Tulsa is celebrating their 100th anniversary this year, and earlier this month, the organization devoted to social justice welcomed new leadership. Vanessa Finley is a native Tulsan who has worked in Kansas City for over 20 years and has returned to her hometown to become the CEO of the YWCA as it embarks on its second century of mission. Most recently, Finley has been the Director of Development for Planned Parenthood of Kansas and Mid-Missouri. Prior to that, she led two organizations in Kansas City as Executive Director, the First Step Fund, which she served for 12 years, a micro-enterprise organization, and the Gildas Club of Kansas City, which was devoted to cancer research and support. Recently, the YWCA announced their 100 Women with Moxie as a part of their 100th anniversary celebration, which features the city's most prominent female philanthropists, social activists, business leaders, politicians, artists, athletes, and educators, among others. They'll all be honored in December when the organization officially celebrates its 100th anniversary. Today, we're joined by the new CEO of the YWCA Tulsa, Vanessa Finley. Vanessa Finley, welcome back home. Glad to have you back as head of the YWCA. Welcome to the program.
Well, I'm thrilled to be here.
So how did it come about that you're the new CEO? What attracts you to about coming back to Tulsa and specifically YWCA Tulsa?
Well, I can say personally, having grown up here and graduating from high school here and still having family in Tulsa, it definitely was a pull to consider coming back to Tulsa. When the search firm reached out to me, that was the first thing I saw was Tulsa. I was like, that might be an interesting journey to go back because my husband and I are both, we're high school sweethearts. We're both from Tulsa and both have family here. But what really pulled me was the mission of the YWCA, 150-year legacy of YWCAs in the United States, 100 here in Tulsa, which is just amazing, the legacy that the YWCA has here in Tulsa. But the mission of eliminating racism, empowering women through, you know, promoting peace, justice, freedom, and dignity for all, you know, who can't get behind that mission?
Well, now, as the Tulsa chapter, I guess, if you will, is starting its second 100 years, has there been thinking about what you're going to do at this particular point? I know there's been a number of initiatives in the last year that are starting to slowly sort of percolate through the YWCA.
Yeah, you know, I have to say, just being 2 weeks in and not having had this long history with the organization itself, I'm at a place where I'm really trying to just get the lay of the land, really try to figure out our place in this community, figure out the needs of the community, working with the board and the staff and our other constituents, our donors, our members, and really determining where the YWCA needs to be over the next 100 years. So, of course, I have all kinds of great ideas that bubble up in my mind every day, but I'm really kind of keeping those down because I really want to figure out where we are and really determine where we need to be before determining what we're going to do to get there.
This is kind of interesting. Coming back to your hometown, you've been away a long time.
Yeah, 26 years.
Yeah. And I'm certain you have perceptions colored by growing up. So how do you go about learning what the social justice mission for an organization is in a town that you know, but you really don't know?
Yeah, it's still a pretty remote town in my mind. We do come to Tulsa or have come to Tulsa many times a year because we have family here and we celebrate holidays here with family. But it has been in a fashion where I go to my sister's house or my brother-in-law's house, and then we go back to Kansas City. So we didn't really explore Tulsa. We didn't really learn what was going on over the last 26 years. So it's quite an awakening to come back and see all the wonderful cultural things that are going on and all the social justice activities that are going on. It almost feels like a new town to me, not coming back to the Tulsa I knew that I have to change, you know, my perception of. It's almost coming to a new city. I just understand the geography of it better. So that's my bonus of coming back to Tulsa as a new city.
So how do you go about learning about it? Where are the social justice areas that you need to focus your organization on?
Well, I go about it, what I've been doing the last few weeks and will continue to be doing over the next several months, and that's meeting with other organizations that are involved with social justice and with immigrants and refugees, because that's a large program that we have as well at the YWCA is a immigrant and refugee program. We do have a significant health and wellness program as well. And so meeting with those like-minded programs and organizations, donors in the community that support social justice, supporting the elimination of racism and empowering women. Of course, the board that we have is an amazing board of directors, well connected, and utilizing their resources. The staff, many have been there 5+ years, and so I'm drawing from the wealth of knowledge that they have. Just really in sponge mode right now, just absorbing and soaking everything up.
Well, what was the mission you were sort of tasked with when you decided to take the job? Was it about really expanding the programs or getting bigger visibility for what you already do? Or what? Or to chart a new course?
Well, I'll have to be honest with you. I wasn't charged with a mission coming in other than being a strong leader for the organization and in the community and really determining what the community needs and wants and where the YWCA can fit with that. So there is not a growth plan. I personally don't believe in growth for growth's sake. You don't just grow a program because you want to grow bigger and have more staff. You grow a program because there's a need and the community demands it. And so that's why I'm at this place of really listening. So I'm calling it my listening tour, where I'm just listening to what is going on, what has been working in the community within the YWCA and outside of the YWCA, what hasn't been working, and what is our role moving forward, trying to fulfill those needs and gaps.
So what struck you most in the first few weeks as you began this listening tour?
Well, I have to say Tulsa is an amazingly philanthropic community. First and foremost, I'm in awe of how supportive the foundations are and individuals are in this community and how much they really care about the organizations they're supporting and the efforts that they're supporting.
Is that the same in Kansas City?
It's not. Kansas City is very philanthropic as well.
I would think, and you have a lot more large companies headquartered
there. We do. But I just have to say, I'm really taken aback at how philanthropic this community is as far as number of dollars that are invested, number of families that are actively involved with their foundations and their giving. The Tulsa Foundation is one of the community foundation.
No.
The Tulsa Community Foundation is one of the largest in the country. I think it's one of the top 5 as far as assets go. That's pretty impressive. I thought ours was big in Kansas City, and I was wrong as far as it was, at least in comparison.
Right.
So, it's things like that, that it's not just sheer volume and dollars, but how engaged the donors are with the efforts.
Well, let's talk about some of the programs of the YWCA as it exists now, that like the Inclusion Institute. Tell us a little bit about this.
Yeah. Well, it's a program that works with individuals and businesses to help them develop a more inclusive environment and help them to be more inclusive either as a company or as individuals. And we have several programs, group programs that are hosted or facilitated by our staff and volunteers to really delve into the issues around inclusion and racial justice. And so that's a relatively new program that we've instituted.
It's just come along in the last year or so. Mm-hmm. What have been the results so far from this? Because you have your traditional HR way of improving diversity. This is something different, isn't it?
Yeah. The Groundwork Program and the Mosaic Program are programs that are specifically group facilitated groups that talk about racial justice, what it means to be white in this community, what it means to be a person of color in this community, and how we work together to create that dialogue and that introspective around racial justice and inclusion. Those are some of the programs that we're doing through the...
I think people have lived here a long time, so even though we've come a long way, we still have real strong divides between people of color and the white community.
Absolutely.
Here in the city.
And some of them are very physical divides.
Kansas City is the same way.
Exactly. And Kansas City, Troost is a very real dividing line in our community, a very racial dividing line, and continues to be today.
How are some of the ways that that's being broken down in Kansas City? Or is that an area that really needs a lot more work?
Yeah, well, I think actually it still needs work. It will always need work, in my opinion. But some of the things they are doing in Kansas City is developing more businesses east of Troost and you know, really creating a destination places for people to come to and you know, really get experience and exposure beyond their small geographical boundaries. Really, you know, when you talk about racial justice, you're so much of it is about exposure.
And it's also about economics, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And but being able to you know, be exposed to people with different backgrounds and being able to have the safety and the freedom to have those difficult discussions, you know, that's what really starts opening up people's minds. About how their background differs from other people's background and what that results in. You know, because when you're talking about homelessness and poverty and incarceration rates and joblessness, there are some very real racial indicators
in
those
disparities,
areas. Yeah, absolutely.
How does a group like the YWCA get involved in those areas? What do you see the role of the YWCA in addressing some of those disparities?
Well, we have some on-the-ground programs that work to address those disparities. We have a women's empowerment program, for example. So now we're talking about empowering women and also the eliminating racism piece. But we do have a program called On Your Own, in which we are supporting women who are contemplating and or going through a divorce process and helping them through that process because that's a very transitional point in a woman's life. And then we also have our racial justice programs that I talked about through the Inclusion Institute. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, our immigration and refugee programs obviously touch upon the racial injustices in this community as well.
Tell us a little bit about what you're doing for immigrants and refugees in the community.
Yeah, okay. So we work with legal permanent residents, LPRs, or those who have their green cards. And one of the number one things we work on is helping them to get their full citizenship, become naturalized citizens. And we do that through preparing them for their citizenship test, but also with intensive English language support and teaching them English so that they can be successful in the community once they become naturalized citizens. And, you know, we really get them from that green card status to naturalized citizen status because the world really does start to open up for them once they become a full citizen of the United States. So on the immigrant side, that's a big piece of what we do. And then we also help those who have a green card or who are naturalized citizens to get their family members here to Tulsa from their country of origin as well. And so that's a big piece of our work. And then on the refugee side, we work to help refugees get their green cards and you know, fulfill their requirements to ultimately become a legal permanent resident and then ultimately, hopefully, a naturalized citizen as well.
And of course, that's the area where this is sort of politically contentious these days.
Yeah.
But how does the YWCA negotiate that?
The political side of it?
Well, yeah.
Well, we do have a mission impact department, which is really focused on the advocacy side. So I said, you know, we have programs on the ground. So those are the ones I just talked about. And then we have our advocacy side in which we really do help promote understanding and inclusion in our community among our community members, but then also on a policy level as well. And so being engaged at that level as well.
I know that's one of the areas that the YWCA Tulsa has really been expanding in the last couple of years is, mm-hmm. is sort of talking to community members. I'm wondering, one of the things I wonder when I see these programs is a lot of times it's talking to people who are really interested in hearing the story, mm-hmm. who are sort of there already. How do you reach those that really don't care or not interested, and how do you get them to at least listen?
Right.
You know, because in this media culture, it's all about, you know, talking, not listening.
Right. Yes, it is. It is. At some point, there are people who are on a side, and they really have no interest in learning more beyond what they know. And sometimes it's just recognizing that. But there are far more people who feel a certain way, lean a certain way, that really just haven't been exposed to the realities of particular people's situations. And that's where having these dialogues in the community, having coalition meetings, and you really have an opportunity like here today on the radio, being able to talk about the importance of having dialogue and communication around immigration reform, working with refugees, you know, these children at Fort Sill.
Is that something you expect to be involved with?
Well, it's something that we're terribly interested in. You know, we do have a capacity limitation, obviously, among our staff, as any nonprofit does. And so we are definitely involved in the community. We've been a convener around discussions around the children that are at Fort Sill and what needs they might have and what needs the Tulsa community might have in helping to address those needs of the children. So we're really at an early stage of how we as an organization might address some of the challenges that those children are facing at Fort Sill. But right now we're playing that convener role and really, you know, we have a Facebook page and, you know, distribution, email distribution accounts that we're really trying to keep people informed and gather information so we can sort of be that conduit of information around that.
You know, that issue is so, as you well know, it's very politically contentious right now. And I think there's a sense that if these kids were Cuban coming from Cuba, there would be no discussion about whether we give these kids asylum because they're from a really horrific neighborhoods in Central America that are ostensibly democracies. That is sort of left by the wayside. I mean, these kids are not trying to sneak into the country. They're presenting themselves for asylum.
They really are fleeing their country. You're exactly right.
And there may be some leaving for economic reasons. Yeah. That's what the system is there in place to determine.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting that it's really hard to get through all that rhetoric surrounding these kids coming to the border asking for asylum.
Because it's tied
the United States, if this was happening somewhere else in the world, we would be telling the neighboring countries,
take these folks in. You need to help them. We would be telling them that.
even if it's refugee camps.
Exactly, yeah. So it's a very contentious, politically charged issue, and that's tied into so many other political issues that really have nothing to do with what's going on. But unfortunately, it does create that platform and that ability for those that want to talk about their broader issues, using it sort of as a political football.
My guest today is Vanessa Finley. She is the new CEO of YWCA Tulsa, which is celebrating its 100th anniversary.
And December,
Yeah, and there are a lot of activities going on with the 100th anniversary, some of which predate you, but I guess you're getting up to speed with what's going on.
So everything predates me right now.
But give us a sense of what's going to happen during this 100th anniversary year.
So this has been a full year of celebration. We had our annual Wine, Women, and Shoes in March of this year, and we had a tremendous success with that. That is something that we do every year. The particularly special thing that we're doing heading into the centennial, which is December 2nd, that is actually the 100th anniversary of YWCA Tulsa, is a celebration of 100 women with Moxie. And so we went through a very intensive process of getting nominations from the community and utilizing an outside group of individuals, community members, to select the 100 women with Moxie that represent the ideals and values of the YWCA. Some have passed, some are still with us. You're going to find all kinds of ages, backgrounds, eras. It's a really amazingly diverse list of
women.
From
political leaders to philanthropists to artists to just every to business leaders.
Yes.
Yeah, every aspect of the community.
So it's 100womenwithmoxie.org. If you go to the website there, you can see the list of the women and a brief description. And you can also post on their page a comment about any of the women that are listed. And then that will culminate in a celebration at the DoubleTree December 2nd downtown.
All right. And, of course, that will be a fundraiser, I assume, for the organization.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
And give us a sense of how big the YWCA is here in Tulsa as far as how far is the reach? How big is the organization?
So we serve the Tulsa area, and we serve about 20,000 people each year through our five programs. And we have a staff of about 75 right now, budget of a little over $3 million. And so we have three locations, our administrative offices down at 15th and Denver, and then we have two fitness facilities, one at 19th and Lewis, and the other at 17th and Memorial. And that's also where our immigration and refugee program is at our east location.
Now, do you think there are still people who just see you as a fitness location? Or do you feel like that mission has been transcended by the social justice?
Coming in new, you know, because this is an interesting perspective
because
for me.
Because both the YMCA uh-huh. and the YWCA is
we
sort
both
of had
have
that
health
fitness.
And fitness. Yep. Yeah. Yep. And that's been a theme throughout the YWCA Tulsa from 1914 to today. I mean, so it's definitely an essential part of our programming because health and wellness is essential to quality of life for everybody. I have to say, though, coming in with sort of this fresh set of eyes into this community and seeing this organization and other organizations in the community and hearing how people perceive it, there's definitely a strong recognition of the social justice component of the YWCA, which is also from the very beginning of its founding in 1914. And you know, during the Tulsa race riots, the YWCA was there housing folks in North Tulsa that were impacted by that. You know, just heavily involved from day one in the social justice component. But part of being a well, healthy individual in a well, healthy community does involve physical fitness as well.
Yeah, well, we wish you great success with the YWCA Tulsa. So you're in the midst of your listening tour now.
Yes.
And at what point do you say, okay, here's where I see we can help? Are you open to partnering with other organizations? It sounds like from what you were saying, you don't want to create something where there's already duplication or redundancy.
Right.
You want to find unique missions.
Yep. So that's exactly why I'm quietly listening right now, because I don't want to jump in too fast before I have really all the information. I am beyond interested in partnering with more organizations, and we already do partner with quite a few groups. But I come from nonprofit management and leadership in Kansas City, 20 plus years. And I think that's been sort of one of the cornerstones of my leadership is that, you know, I don't care how it gets done in the community. If we address a need, it doesn't have to be done through my organization. We don't have to be the leaders and have our names at the top of the letterhead. I just want to get it done. And whatever is appropriate for our role. So in this case with YWCA, whatever is the appropriate role for the YWCA to fulfill an identified need that falls under our mission, that's the role I will advocate for us to play. We don't have to be at the top of the list. We just want to be sure that we're fulfilling, you know, the skills that we bring to the table. I can't tell you how amazed I am going just, 260 miles south. The difference in culture and community here in this town. I mean, everybody's so friendly and not that people aren't friendly in Kansas City, because people are friendly. And boy, you go up north and it's, you know, we're super friendly in Kansas City, but but it's just been, it has been such a treat to just interact with people on the street, people and other fellow partnership organizations. And it's just been an amazing transition for us, for myself and my family.
All right. Well, we wish you great success over the next 100 years, but
yes,
at least this first year in getting acclimated. And,
yes.
And we look forward to the programs of the YWCA because it is performing a special niche in our community for social justice.
Thank you.
Vanessa Finley, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Vanessa Finley is the new CEO of the YWCA Tulsa. For more information on the YWCA's mission, their 100th anniversary celebration coming up December 2nd, and the complete list of the 100 Women with Moxie, visit their website at ywcatulsa.org. You're listening to Studio Tulsa. Here's the comments of Connie Cronley.
This commentary is titled, I Could Have Told You That. It is deliciously sexist. You may say, oh, how awful. And I would reply, oh, but what fun. After a lifetime of being called darling and sweetie, and now little lady, and told how cute I am, which means old and harmless, what fun to take a swipe at the male sex and say, back at you. This is my own observation, with a few men I know, and not at all scientific or objective. And isn't that the best kind of outrageous stance to take? Well, I was in a budget meeting with several men I know and like, and I was talking about a spreadsheet of budgets for 3 years. All of these men are accomplished and successful businessmen. And one of them suddenly said, wait, which year are you talking about? And I said, I'm talking about all 3 years. Last year's budget, this year's budget, and next year's projected budget. And he said, oh, no, we have to talk about 1 year at a time. I sat back in my chair and thought, here comes the sexist comment. I thought, oh, I get it. He's a see the bear, shoot the bear guy. He can't remember last year's bear. He can't imagine next year's bear. All he can do is shoot this year's bear. I, on the other hand, am a female, which means a natural gatherer and multitasker. I can see all the bears and what kind of shoes they're wearing. Today, I feel vindicated in that thought. There is an ongoing discussion year after year about the difference between males and females. It smolders constantly and then occasionally erupts into flames and fiery debates as in, are you implying that women are less capable? But now, an article in an academic scientific journal reports a new study by researchers that reveals the brains of young men and women are wired differently. The gender differences are how the brain hemispheres are connected. Or, to summarize the findings with a broad brush, women are better at multitasking and analytical thought, and men are better at focusing on one thing at a time. Here's my smarty pants observation. I could have told you that. I read about this study in the Wall Street Journal. The author pointed out that the conclusions of this study were speculative. The article was written by a man. I could have told you that.
Connie Cronley is a freelance writer and the executive director of the Iron Gate Soup Kitchen in downtown Tulsa and a regular contributor to Studio Tulsa. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.